hug after service and let her know how much you appreciate her. And so now I have to transition into Mario. Good thing he's up here. And Mario's going to be preaching and bringing the word this morning. So can we give it up for Mario?
Good morning, everyone. All right, somebody dropped their phone over here. Okay, all right, sounds good. All right, we dismiss officially the kids. There's maybe two kids. All right, sounds good. So good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing?
Good.
All right, come on. The Bears clinched. Yeah. You know, we're going into a new year. How's everyone doing this morning?
Good.
No, we got to do better than that. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. There we go. All right. So, want to recap. How's everyone's Christmas?
Beautiful.
All right, a lot of eating. So what did you guys do? Eat. What else? Anything else? What was that? Play games, fellowship, any TV, binge watching? No? All right, well, I did. Yeah. So, good. You know, I'm grateful for downtime that we had, family time that we had, and time to reflect and just really being joyous and grateful for what God has done and continues to do in each and every one of our lives. So, over the past few weeks, we've walked through the Christmas story together. And so each week covering a new dimension of God's message to us through Jesus. Right? It was through Jesus. So first we began with fear not. That was the first week. And remembering that God's nearness removes fear. Right? So wherever you're scared, your fear comes up. I don't know, I'm a big Rocky fan. This came up in one of the episodes in Rocky, or one of the sequels. Thank you. I think it was Rocky IV. And he tells the young pupil that Frankie Fear is his friend. You embrace fear. The good news for us is that we embrace fear because God's with us. All right. So that's how we embrace fear, because God's with us, so there is no fear. Fear not, because God is there. So remember, Frankie Fear is actually God. On that, all right? So fear not. Remembering that God's nearness removes fear. Then we were invited to behold, to stop and truly see what God is doing. Pause for the cause. What is God blessing you at where you're at right now? And last week we embraced the good news, the world-changing message of the salvation through Christ, believing that Jesus is here and is our Savior. So, and today we're going to wrap up the series with something that our hearts craves most. I don't know about you, but great joy, peace, right? That is not found in acquiring things, chasing things, a person, your spouse. No, the only great joy that comes and is available is through Christ. So as in my notes, I wrote this, you know, last night, as many binge watch, my wife and I watch some TV, right? So I came across a titled show on Netflix, and I'll save you the hour and a half that we spent on this. But I always believe things happen for a reason. Why do we watch that movie? It's called Some Other Woman, and the title's a bit deceiving. That other woman is the same woman. So let me give you the summary on that. And it'll all tie into what we're actually focusing on today. In Some Other Woman, the main character gives up her dream of being a singer and moves to a remote island with her husband, hoping to start a new life and build a family. She sacrifices a part of her identity for love, believing that settling down and trying to have a baby will bring her joy and fulfillment that she longs for. The joy and fulfillment. Not the baby, but the joy and fulfillment. Again, she's using something to acquire that. But as time passes, she struggles with infertility, loneliness, and the deepening sense of isolation. Feeling disconnected from herself and her marriage, she begins to question if she made the right choices. Have we ever felt that? Did we make the right choice? Are we supposed to be where we're at? Do we have everything that we need where we're at? So she starts searching for joy and meaning outside of her current life, comparing herself to others. I've compared myself to others. Anyone here have compared themselves to others? Imaging alternative realities. Maybe if I would have done this, I would have been somewhere else. And becoming obsessed with the version of life she believes she should have been hers. The more she chases joy through control, fantasy, and escape, the more elusive and fragile it becomes. Her internal world becomes unstable, and the relationships she once valued begin to deteriorate. Ultimately, the film reveals a powerful truth. When joy is sought through external changes, comparisons, or escape in reality, it slips further away. Just imagine a balloon. When you let go of that balloon, what happens to that balloon? It flies away. Can't grab it, right? True joy, my brothers and sisters, is rooted in identity and love and honest connection, never in someone else's story. And that true identity and love is in God's love. Amen? So, that movie reminds us of how something real, how easily we search for joy in comparison, control, or the lives of others. Every time we turn on a television, what are we being compared to? You need the newest phone. You need this. You need the bigger home. You start scrolling. Oh, look, they took a picture of what they ate today, where they're at actually at. You got their nails done. They're on vacation. But it's not the real story. It's not the real story. None of that matters, right? But true form, you know, we know that joy is not found out there. It's not found in a person. And the good news is that joy isn't something we have to chase. Jesus brought that to us. Amen? Amen? So that's why today's message titled Great Joy points us to one truth, lasting joy, and only joy is found in abiding in Christ. Does everyone know what abiding in Christ means? No? It's being connected. Right? It's being connected. Think about when you go home, it's a night, and you connect this, and it's going to be full of energy tomorrow morning. That's what abiding is staying close to abiding in Christ at all times. That's your prayer walk. That's your prayer life with your family. Men, I always direct this to the men. If you're not leading your family, your wives, your children in prayer, you have to do so. No one else is coming. That is your responsibility. So, great joy is the title of today's message. So let's transition to scripture. We're going to focus on John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. If you want to look it on your phone, we'll have it up here as well. I think it's slide 1, Erica. To understand what this kind of joy looks like, we're going to the words of Jesus himself, not my words, spoken just before he went to the cross. Pay attention because these words are full of life, purpose, and promise. So if you're able to, I invite you to stand up for the reading of today's word, if you're able to. All right, I'll read it out. Jesus, the true vine. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. So he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they produce even more. Listen to this. This is the good news here. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. You guys could have a seat. So, in this scripture, Jesus is speaking to all of us. I think it's one of the most direct communications Jesus gives us. You abide in him and you will produce much fruit. And it refers to spiritual results, which we're going to get into, which are the fruits of the Spirit. That's love, joy, peace, obedience, and kingdom impact. And I like to highlight obedience because obedience is taking responsibility. We just can't pray and wish that God is going to do things, which we're going to get into taking action and being responsible with God's word, right? That's where wisdom comes in, the application of knowledge. That's where wisdom now comes into fruition. So, in Galatians 5:22-23, it states this, and we don't have a slide for this, Erica, so don't worry. So fruitfulness is the visible evidence of abiding. I'll say that again. Fruitfulness is the visible evidence of abiding, being connected to the Lord, having a prayer life, reading the word, doing what's right. My wife, I mean, what an example of staying the path. You know, I'm human, and sometimes, you know, if things don't work out or something, you know, especially if they attack my family, I turned into Michael Corleone. I'm a Godfather fan, so it's like, all right, you know, I know it was you, Fredo, and that's it. So, but not her. She doesn't change the way, whatever circumstance, she stays the course. I'm so blessed to have her as my wife. So I say that as an example, right? You stay the course. Fruitfulness is the visible evidence of abiding. Thank you, Pastor, for doing that today and everyone here. One of the ways we stayed close here to the vine was through our 5 a.m. group calls over the summer that happened this summer. For many of us, it was quite the sacrifice getting up at 5. Many got to see me without my hair being done and all that. You guys got a kick out of that, right? Fine, it's 5 o'clock, right? I know for my wife and I, it was certain because I was anticipating, oh, it's 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I was like, I don't want to miss the 5 o'clock, so I never will get a full night's sleep. But nonetheless, I had supernatural energy to get through the day, right? So, but there was a unique covering I felt starting our day and praying together as a church and family. And I pray with my family every morning before we all split up and go to our, you know, school, work, or whatever. But I pray. But that, I made it a point I need to get up at 5 in the morning because there was a special covering. And I felt it, a protection. The one time that I did miss, my day didn't start right. All right? And during that time, I also remember many sharing on the call what God was revealing to them. The overarching message that God was to stay rooted and abide in him. Start the day with me. Be with me. I remember my sister Maribel back there, don't change what you're doing. I remember that clearly. And so God was saying, stay close to me, and not just to me, but to everyone there. So in other words, being deeply established and consistently connected to Christ, who brings joy, life, and strength of purpose, is what abiding is all about. In John 15, 1 through 11, which we'll bring up again so you guys can look at it, Jesus is all, his whole teaching is about just abiding in him and to remain in him and dwell in him. We bear fruit, we are sustained, and we receive joy that overflows. That's powerful, right? There's nothing else that's going to bring you that. And the word abide isn't passive, right? It's not a one and done. It's a daily, deliberate connection to the source of joy. It's a discipline, right? So it's a good discipline to have. When you feel connected, you feel protected. And look, every time I come up here, thank you for the brothers and sisters that pray over me. Anytime that you're out preaching the word, sharing the word, guess what? The enemy is going to attack. Right. You need protection. And that only protection doesn't come other than from Jesus Christ and from prayer. You know, we're commanded to pray for one another. So, looking at verses 3 to 4, which I've underlined there, I want to kind of focus on those two verses. And I'll read them again. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. We're already set up for this. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So I'm going to break this down. You are pruned and clean. So you've been purified. Jesus refers to the spiritual cleansing that comes through his word, not through our effort. Ritual of self-worth. Joy begins with knowing we've already accepted Jesus as our Savior. We're accepted by him too as well. Abide. Again, this is abide, the word of abide. To remain, dwell, continue. Jesus invites us to the constant communion with him. All he wants is a relationship. If you read the Bible, he just wants a relationship. You know, for those that haven't read the Old Testament, and if you guys, I'll share some resources. There's a Bible. See me after service. I'll continue the service. I'll give you the Bible. The Bible Project. And the Bible Project takes you through the Word, and there is someone that explains the Word to you as well. But what I've learned is that in the Old Testament, which I've never read the Old Testament until this year, many in history repeats itself. Those in the Old Testament refuse to abide and have that relationship with Jesus on a daily basis. Guess what? It's happening now again. It's like, how is this possible 2,000 plus years and we're still in the same place? Right? That's where obedience comes in. That's where responsibility comes into play. Men, there's no one else coming. We are the leaders. We need to lead. So, again, abiding, you know, is to remain and continue in Jesus daily. Joy is not found in temporary blessings, but in remaining in his presence. I don't know about you. You know, I'm 52, but when I was younger, and I'll speak to you guys here, don't get caught into this chasing of acquiring things, because once you acquire, you think you reached it, and it's like something's still missing. Something's still missing. It's like, okay, I got it. So you guys are ahead of the game here, right? You know that your true joy comes from the Lord. All right, so moving on. The vine branch imagery reflects total dependence. Just as the branch draws all the life from the vine, our joy, our spiritual fruit, comes only from deep connection with Christ. Without abiding, there is no lasting joy. The world offers fleeting happiness. Jesus offers fulfillment of joy. Joy is a result of remaining in Christ, not dependent on circumstances, right? So I'm going to share something with you of a season that I encountered. And during this season, there was a transition in my own life, one filled with uncertainty, questions, and waiting. I learned what it meant to abide in a deeper way. Let me share what happened. In this season of transition, I was in a career transition. It's 2007, and I had been in the mortgage industry and banking for quite some time, and this is right before the bubble. Things weren't looking well, and I decided to say, all right, let me go from mortgage back to the banking world. In that, I worked odd jobs. I worked a part-time at Old Navy unloading trucks at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. There's nothing wrong with that. It's dignity in finding transitions and doing a job. I've always learned that from my parents. There's dignity in work. And we're designed to work as men. So navigating through a season of financial uncertainty, what am I going to do? I was in debt, $30,000 plus debt. And during this time, I meet my wife. I'm like, all right, she's got her career. It's like, all right, how does this kind of align, right? But I've also been on a journey of searching and connecting with God because I got tired of doing things my way. It's like, there's more to this, right? So in working one of those odd jobs, someone introduced me to a book called Conversations with God by Neil Donald Walsh. And what that book taught me was to live a life of gratitude and trusting in God and help me understand whatever circumstance I encounter, God's with me. So I discovered a prayer, and I'll share it with you. I shared it with my wife at that time, and we still do this. That this prayer has become part of my spiritual development. And so I say, Lord, I thank you for this or something better. Because what do I know what's good for me? I don't. He does, right? So don't go to get attached with it has to look a certain way or I needed this. No, because we don't know if that this is going to be good for us. Only God knows. So I'll say that again. God, thank you for this or something better. So to put it in context, this is what I did. I did a prayer list, and I thank God for helping me obtain this job. And if not this job, thank you for something better. But like I said earlier, I wasn't idle. I wasn't just saying, God, give me the job and we're cool. No, I took responsibility in that. I took action in that. But I made sure, and I continue to do this, that my actions are aligned with what God has for me. All right? So I made it a prayer list, asking God for many things, and I would thank him for making all these things possible. If not this, then something better. And may it be his will, not mine. So I trusted then, and I still trust now. God has been my provision in every season. And brothers and sisters, he's been your provision in every season too. Whatever season you're encountering now or you find yourself in, God's got you. It's just a matter of time. Okay? So I'm going to transition over to Proverbs 16, verse 27. This is that slide here. So maybe you're in a difficult season right now. You're feeling stuck, discontent, or discouraged. You didn't think this 2025 turned out the year that you wanted. But let me remind you, God is with you. Even when we wait, we're not called to be idled. Here in 16:27, it warns us against idleness. It gives the enemy ground. But abiding in God gives us strength and purpose in every season, staying connected. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. Idle lips are his mouthpiece. Never cease searching for God. Never cease praying for you and your family and your church family. Because if not, you're putting your guard down and you're surrendering to the wrong person. So going back to this book, conversations with God, I got into action. Like I said, obedience is responsibility. I took responsibility. I applied for new career opportunities. I prepared for interviews. I took self-development classes. And this is not about me. I'm just giving you an example of what it is to be responsible. And I pursued positive, like-minded, God-trusting individuals. I applied the learnings, and I started going to church with the person who is now my wife. So if you want this serious, you got to go to church with me. I'm like, I've been searching. Yeah, let's do this. And here we are, right? We'll be married 15 years next year. Together, 18 years. So I took action. I applied the learnings, and I stayed close to the Lord, and I still have to do that to this day. So again, trust in his word. So let's transition over to Hebrews verses 2 to 12. So I wanted us to go a little bit deeper. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, shows us what joy looked like for Jesus. Not comfort, but purpose. All right? So he endured the cross with joy, not because it was easy. I'm not going to tell you and stand you up here and say, you know what, you're going to pray, things are going to be easy. They're not. They're not going to be easy. Okay? But he saw eternal purpose behind it. And that eternal purpose was you and me. Everyone seated here. We're seated here. And that's where we find joy too. Not in ease, but in purpose, obedience, and endurance. Because we know who holds the outcome. So in Hebrews 12:2, it reads as this. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, let's break this down. Fix your eyes on Jesus. We know that true joy, and we're learning today, if we didn't know, begins by focusing on Christ, not the distractions of the world. Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. He starts and completes our journey. Joy comes from trusting his work, not our own striving. Now, let's not confuse not our own striving. Yes, you have to strive to become better, better in the word, you know, improve, take responsibilities. But we don't want to replace that, like, it's because of me, that's where I'm at. No, it's because of God and trusting in God. Make sense? Yes? We're clear on that? I don't want to confuse the two. Yeah, in other words, it was doing it our way. No. Striving with Christ leads to burnout. No, sorry. Striving without Christ leads to burnout. Abiding in him leads to fruit and joy. All right? So joy was set before him. Jesus endured suffering because of the purpose beyond the pain. So whatever you're encountering, there's a purpose. Like I told you, like, why did I watch this movie and spend an hour and a half? And like, I had to research what really happened in that movie. I'm like, someone was chasing something that was fleeting. And I didn't think about it until I'm like putting my sermon together. I'm like, wait, this ties into that. Who would ever think Netflix was part of my sermon? But anyhow. All right. So, in enduring that pain, you know, it was purpose beyond the pain, redeeming us and obeying our Father. Jesus endured the cross. Joy includes endurance, holding firm through the trials because of a greater hope. Don't cease to pray because God, you think, hasn't answered your prayer. He heard your prayer. He just may be preparing you for something or saving you from something. He despised the shame. Jesus overcame shame by obeying God. Joy is rooted in identity and obedience, not circumstance. So maybe someone didn't treat you right. So that should shake you from being who you are in Christ. Amen. Forgiving, graceful, patient, kind. Galatians 5:22 tells us that joy is a fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to get into the fruits of the Spirit. Growing, now how does this fruit of the Spirit, joy, happen? Well, it grows as we can stay connected to God. So again, just plug in. Plug into the Lord. But joy isn't the only thing that the only thing that the Spirit produces in us. When we abide and stay close to Jesus, the Spirit transforms our character in many ways. How many people here have felt convicted at one time? Like, man, that wasn't right. I got to go clean that up. That's the Spirit of the Lord. All right, let's go to slide 4. Let's get into the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Let's break it down. You guys want to take a snippet? Go right ahead. The first one is love. Selfless, sacrificial, God-centered love. All right? joy, deep gladness rooted in Christ, not circumstance. It's like, hey, whatever situation it is, God's got me. He's going to see me through, and he's going to work in me. Peace, inner calm and wholeness from trusting God. My wife and I, before we make a major decision, whatever decision that is, we pray first. And if we feel uneasy, then that's not the route to go. I don't feel peace in that. So if you're waking up in the middle of the night thinking of something, go to prayer on that. Patience, enduring difficult people or seasons without anger. Christmas could be a difficult season for many people because you're going to encounter family that you don't want to see, right? Or vice versa. There's some bad blood there that still has to be ironed out and worked on it. But, you know, the goodness is God's graceful, so we should be also graceful for it as well. Kindness, compassionate, gracious. There's that word, gracious. Attitude toward others. Goodness, integrity, moral virtue, doing what is right, regardless of the circumstance. Faithfulness, steadfast loyalty and trust in God and others. And when I say others, your church, brothers and sisters, those that are firmly rooted in the word. Gentleness, humble strength, power under control. Don't lose, you know, your temper. And self-control, spirit-enabled mastery over desires and impulses. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And as you stay connected with the Lord, he starts revealing these to you. It's not a one and done. It's a discipline that has to be done daily. And it's a choice. But the beauty about it is that God made a choice for us to come as our Savior and say, you know, he died for our sins. I'm like, for what he did and what you're asking me to do is just, the balances are just outweighed. I'm like, he did much more for what you're asking me to do, asking all of us to do. Let's go to slide 5, Erica, please. All right, so how do we stay obedient to God? Well, first, we stay connected to God. We abide in Christ. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, that's in John 15, verse 7. Obedience flows from the relationship, not rule keeping. Stay close to Jesus through prayer, worship, and surrender. It's okay, say, God, I don't know the word. You know, if I remember encountered with a situation that they're asking me to weigh in on, it's like, let me pray on this. I'll get back to you. Right, I don't have the words, and you know, I'll reach out to a brother or sister and say, "Hey, let's pray about it. Let's find out what is God going to reveal to us here." Know God's word. Listen, I tried reading the Bible many times, and it just didn't work out for me because of my schedule. So then the Bible Project was—it's not the Bible Project. Hold on, it's bothering me, and I'm going to tell you right now what it is.
Is it Bible Recap?
Yes, the Bible Recap. Thank you so much. I'll tell you right now. Hold on. If not, I'm going to forget. It's the Bible Recap by Tara Lee Cobble. In it, she meshes the Old Testament and New Testament, not in chronological order so you could understand it. And then she gives a recap of what it is. I'm like, oh, I missed that point. I got that point. And so I'm like, all right, it's an audio book. I'm always on the run. Let me make some time. And it's helped me. So I'm sharing something that before it's like I would struggle to make sense of everything. But I'm starting to see certain things that history continues to repeat itself. And all in all, God just wants a simple relationship with us and to be connected. So I encourage you, if you haven't done it, start now. 2026, the Bible Recap is a great tool out there. I'm not endorsing anything or getting paid for it. I'm just sharing something that's worked for me. So knowing God's word, right? Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's in Psalms 119, verse 105. You can't obey what you don't know. I'll say that again. You can't obey what you don't know. Scripture reveals God's will and corrects our course. Okay? Number 3, be led by the Holy Spirit. Walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's in Galatians 5, verse 16. The Spirit gives power, conviction, and guidance for our daily obedience. We can't do it ourselves. Number 4, choose trust over feelings. Lean not on your own understanding. That's in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Obedience often requires faith, even when it's hard or uncomfortable. Number 5, stay in community. Find a church. And I hope you, for those newcomers, we invite you to do that 3-try challenge to see if God's calling you to be here and making this your home. Encourage one another daily. Those 5 a.m. calls, they were a struggle, but then we got used to it. And, you know, they were very encouraging to one another. So encourage one another daily. That's in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. God uses others to strengthen, correct, and support us. So for those that are new here, and those that maybe have not joined a group, there's multiple groups here. There's a men's group, women's group, there's a marriage group, celebrity recoveries here, there's a young adults group. There's ways to stay connected here, okay? And that will roll out early part of 2026 as we're going to a 21-day fast. And I encourage everyone, because God reveals during these times of prayer and solitude with him, he reveals really what his plan is for you. And it's individually different for all of us, right? Don't be stuck in being compared or comparing yourself just like that woman in that movie. And brothers and sisters, obedience is not perfect. It's not perfect. It's a daily surrender, trusting God's grace to keep you on the path. Listen, sometimes I'm like, oh, it's 12 o'clock. I haven't done the Bible recap. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to eat lunch. Let me try to listen. There's a call or an email. It's a struggle, but I'm still fighting for it. And God honors that. So it's not going to be perfect. You know, it's a white picket fence syndrome is what they call it, right? It's a beautiful house with a white picket fence. It's never perfect because we're not perfect and God knows that. But it's a daily surrender. You got to fight for it. All right, so how do we apply joy in Jesus? Let's go to the next slide. These are the three things. If we were to recap this, it's purpose for living something eternal, right? As a father, it's important for me that my kids know Christ, because I'm not going to be here forever. I'm going to go on to the kingdom at one time, right, when God chooses to call me. So I have to equip her and our oldest that your true source doesn't come from the world, but from God, right? And if there's a brother and sister, my wife and I, with Michelle and Lewis, we co-run the marriage group. Marriage is important to us because that's a reflection that what our kids are going to see and what our kids are going to live in there generationally. So whatever chains or bonds that we have, we're breaking those. So that's the importance, again, of community, right? The purpose for something eternal, it's bigger than us. Something that we can't even comprehend, really. Obedience, as I started at the top of the hour. Obedience, trusting God's will, even when it's hard. It's like, man, I'm still feeling what I'm feeling. I still don't see any change. God is a God of quantum leaps. You can just flip it like that. You just got to stay, you know, consistent. He parted the Red Sea. Just like that. Who would ever thought that that would happen? Right? There's so many, many things in the Bible of just like, how is that possible? Endurance. It's not a race, it's a marathon. Right? Holding on through trials with hope in Christ's victory. We're victorious. He beat the enemy. We have to hold on to that. So brothers and sisters, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and this is the NIV. I've used different versions here just to get the point across here, but this is in the NIV. I ask everyone to rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice in the Lord always, regardless of what circumstance you're in. So we're going to come to a close if the worship team wants to make their way up here. So in recapping, the Christmas season is a fun way to connect our ways of being to God our Father. Right? We're reminded that Jesus came for us. What the greatest gift God gave us, his son. So we're going to share a video, kick back, relax. It's about a 2.5-minute video. And looking at this video, notice the excitement, the enthusiasm, purpose, and impact Elf, yes, Elf. Who's the actor that plays Elf, Anthony? Will Ferrell, thank you. Elf has on others, all right? The purpose and the impact that he has on others. Through his belief, listen to this, he's having this impact because of his belief and convictions. True to his belief in Santa, ours is God and Jesus, and how he did not allow anyone to steal his joy. You're going to see people kind of like, oh, okay, this is contagious. This is a great example of how we should live our lives in Christ. So let's roll the tape here.
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Oh, Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God! Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah.
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
How are we going to get the star on top?
I got it.
It's not perfect, right? But he's fighting for it.
Now before we learn how to build the latest in extreme graphic chipset processors, let's recite the code of the elves, shall we? Number one.
Treat every day like Christmas.
Number two.
There's room for everyone on the nice list.
Number three.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
But some spontaneous Christmas caroling has broken out right here in front of Central Park. Let's have a listen in.
When you're sleeping, he knows if you're awake.
He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake.
Hey! Watch out.
You better not pout, I'm telling you why.
Come on!
Santa Claus is coming to town.
All right. So did we all see that because of his belief and convictions, no one stole his joy? Because there was a lot of bitter people in that video. They're like, oh, we got another job. Santa's coming tomorrow. Okay, we got to deal with kids, whatever it is. He didn't. He brought that conviction. He brought that impact, right? That's what we're all called to do. Right? Just really impact one another positively in the Word of God, founded in the Word of God. Amen. So, this is an impromptu, brothers and sisters. So, I'm just called right now, I don't know who this is for, but someone that's been struggling here and is just tired of just doing life their own way and is yearning to learn or know God the Father at a different level. I open up the altar. We could pray for you on that. And those four that know that, you know what? I haven't accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, my true strength, and my ultimate deliverer from the way I've been living. I open up that altar right now. So let's just play something, and we'll just open up the altar right now for anyone that comes up here for prayer. And then we'll recap it.
Let's worship and response.
I want to read verse 1 from Firm Foundation, which is a song that the worship team just sang today. And these words, I hope, encourage you as they encourage me. I still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. Because I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. Amen. So let me pray your benediction over everyone. Please bow your heads. Brothers and sisters, as you go today, may you abide in the true vine, Jesus Christ, drawing life, strength, and joy from his presence. May the word he has spoken continue to cleanse you and guide you. May your life bear much fruit, fruit that lasts, glorifying our Heavenly Father. Remain in his love, walk in his commandments, and may your joy be made full, overflowing in every season. Go in peace, rooted in Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Together we say, amen. Amen. Have a great week and a happy new year.